Moto America fans, it's time for another episode of Off Track with Carruthers and Bice. You'll laugh, you'll cry, and you may even learn something from this unlikely pair and their special guest. The mic is yours, Paul and Sean.
Hello, Moto America fans. This is Sean Bice, about as far away from home as I can be with this edition of Off Track with Carruthers and Bice. I'm joined by our communications manager, Paul Carruthers, to my right. And we are in the Pacific Northwest, Shelton, Washington. The air is a little different up here. It's
Why?
A little cleaner. I don't know. It's cleaner or something.
Cleaner than Ohio?
We're a little dank. Not the good way of dank, like the kids say nowadays. We're talking like
high humidity.
Well, the dank is around here for sure.
And we're obviously joined by Bobby Fong, who is a rep for Dainese. How many different ways is there to pronounce that word, by the way?
It's Dainese.
Dainese.
Yeah, you got to go like this, too.
There's Dainese, there's Dainese, there's... there's so many different ways to say it. I mean, ever since I've worked there, everybody's like, you got to say it the proper way. It's Dainese.
Yeah. I'll say it that
sounds
way.
Japanese. Dainese.
It's like Alpine Star. You had to say Alpina Star. You know? It's like,
really?
Yeah. Alpina Star.
Yeah. That's weird.
So among the many things that Mr. Robert Bobby Fong does is he works for Dainese, but he also races pretty much every motorcycle known to mankind and has over the years. There was a time when I used to call him Bobby Ducati because that was a long time ago when he raced a Ducati, but you haven't been on a Ducati in a long time, have you?
No, it'd be nice to get on one though. That'd be nice. I heard they're pretty good.
And then he was Bobby Triumph.
Bobby Triumph, yeah, absolutely, for a long time. But, you know, the thing with Bobby is, so Bobby is going to get to find out something that he's wondered for a while, which is, what the hell is with those Yamaha R1s, especially those attack bikes? And he's going to get on what we understand to be an ex-Jake Gagne, former Attack Performance Yamaha YZF R1, full-on superbike with that crazy swing arm that Richard Stamboli builds. And he's subbing, filling in for David Anthony, Aussie Dave Anthony. And how did that come about, Bobby?
Oh, man, we've been, when the first time I saw it, started like at a test maybe a few months ago. And I saw Dave with his new R1. I'm like, man, if Dave ever stopped racing in the future, I was like, man, that's a good bike to probably get on. And actually, Dave started talking to me at Road America a few weeks ago. And he's like, hey, man, I don't know the deal, but, you know, possibility that, you know, you could probably ride this R1. And I'm like, I'm in. I just want to ride the bike. Yeah. And, you know, meanwhile, I've been talking to Chris Ulrich as well, because there was rumors going on that, you know, Tony was going to retire. And there was a whole bunch of rumors that there was going to be a spot available. So I was talking to Chris Ulrich. But the main thing with that was Suzuki didn't want me to race a bagger.
And so you're not called Bagger Bob for nothing.
Bagger Bob, I know. And it was like, and I honestly, like, I'm enjoying my time in the bagger class now. That we're doing good, and obviously doing good, you have fun. When you're not winning, it's not fun. But anyways, I agreed to Dave's R1, and man, I'm stoked to be it, like, to ride the thing. I gotta be patient though, as much as like it's the bike and all that stuff. You know, we don't have Cornwall or Stamboli there, you know, with the crew and everything. I got Robbie Peterson and
Nick
Sealing and Dave, which is, I got a good crew on my side.
Yeah.
But I got to be personally patient with myself and riding the bagger too. So I rode a sport bike last year, the end of the year, after riding the bagger all year long. And I got on the sport bike. And I'm like, man, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, this thing is so foreign to me. Like, the brakes were so touchy. You know, and the throttle response, everything was just so foreign to me. I still know how to ride and all that stuff and lean angle, the basics, but just like getting on a sport bike to a bagger is so different.
Yeah.
So it's probably going to be a big learning. Like, it's going to be a big shock tomorrow morning getting on a super bike after riding a bagger. I mean, yeah, you can ride the hell out of the bagger, which is good. It's still keeping me sharp between the ears, but a super bike's a different story. So I'm going to need time for sure. And I got to be realistic with my expectations. Everybody's up to speed. You know, it's the middle of the year, you know, all this stuff. And yeah, just gotta, who knows? I might surprise myself. I don't know.
He's going to be fine.
Yeah. No, he's going to be, well, Jake, I talked to Jake today, Gagne. He said, oh no, he'll be fast right out of the box on that thing. So
I think he's just playing it. He's just playing it.
I love
it. He's a nice guy.
I love the gamesmanship.
Yeah. It's all good. He's a team player with all the Yamaha boys.
Yeah.
But who knows? I don't know. I might surprise myself. I might be really disappointed, but
Either way, I'm going to go have fun, and I'm going to ride that hooligan bike this weekend for Rolling Sands. So yeah. That'd be interesting. And
yeah, so that's the thing I want to point out. So Bobby races in Mission King of the Baggers on an Indian Challenger, but he also races in the Mission Super Hooligan National Championship on an FTR 1200 Indian. So
yeah.
He's like, it's going to be interesting, right? This weekend, King of the Baggers is not here, but they will be at Laguna Seca. We don't know what's going to happen after this weekend as far as the superbike ride. But he's going to be on a bagger at Laguna, and we'll have to find out about the Super Hooligan situation and the one in Superbike. Are you tomorrow? Your number is 50.
Yeah.
Are you going to be 50, not 25?
I better be 50. I better be 50.
He'll be 50.
I don't know. Yeah.
They're going to fight somebody
if they have my number running out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
We retired that number. We didn't.
50?
Yeah.
I can't even think of Well, we were just talking.
2021, last year of number 50.
Well, we were just talking. Paul and I actually know about this. 50 back in the day was John Betancourt.
We just saw a photo.
We just saw a photo of that. So
that's funny.
But I mean, 50, you're known for that for sure. And I did a little poll today where I put out a photo of, we didn't have a photo of you on the bike, but we had a photo of David Anthony on the bike with 25. And it got me to thinking, no, he's going to be 50. But there's a lot of support for you and social media. I know you hate social media, but
you know, believe it or not, I actually tried to get my social media back yesterday, and I don't know how to get it back. So this is another story, but it's another story for another day. But long story short, I had to make a different email. I got hacked at one point. I had to make a damn different email, all this stuff to like get my email back. And I forgot what email I just made up this little chinky email just to get like at the time. And I don't even know what email I use. Like I can't even get it back.
Yeah.
You should know how to get it back because you've turned it off 100 times. Somebody writes Bobby Fong's a dickhead. Each day he quits social media.
No. I'm serious because I lost my phone like 3-4 months ago and had all my information of all the little emails and all this stuff in my notes. And that disappeared. Yeah. I didn't back anything up on that phone.
You have your bank information, and your PIN number?
Everything.
Do you have any money left?
No, thank God. Like I just changed my password right before I lost my phone too. So I'm like, they're for sure going to guess 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, like I better change this thing. So
now, a couple things at Road America, I found out, and I'm actually quite fond of Robert Ward, going way back to Richie Oliver and how he worked with him and everything, and a great guy. And I remember specifically when he retired, and I talked to you about this at Road America, the fact that, I mean, he's kind of been gone for a little while, and he told me the only person he would come out of retirement and work with is Bobby Fong, and I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. So he works with you on the Indian program. Is it King of the Baggers and the Hooligan project too, or?
Unfortunately, not for the Hooligans.
Okay.
We try to get him for the Hooligans, and honestly, throughout the years, me and Robert, we've grown pretty close, pretty tight. And, you know, we still call each other and check in. And we had a lot of success together. And I try to get him to come out this weekend, but he has nothing. He doesn't want to do anything with that Hooligan project.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so he's not here at all then?
No, no.
Okay.
I got my guy Cameron with the mustache.
Yeah, yeah.
I got me and mustache this weekend. That's it.
I was just talking to him quite a bit.
Yeah.
I got to talk about that bike for a minute. I was just over in tech looking it over.
It looks sweet.
I mean, Bobby, I suck.
It's deadly to ride, but it looks sweet. Yeah.
Because, Bobby, I was like, I think I could sit on that bike and win on that thing.
What makes it deadly? It wobbles?
It's a cool-looking bike.
It's just speed wobbles. I mean, it just kills you out there. I'm arm pump central in one lap on that thing.
Oh, really? But it's really standard-looking, though. It feels like a normal street motorcycle.
It's honestly, it is fun to ride. It's pretty, for me, it's pretty physical.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just because we don't ride it. You know what I mean? We just go out and we just like, oh, we'll just throw this setting out. You know what I mean? Like, we never had a crew chief for the thing. It was just like, yeah, these spring rates might work. And we just go out there, and Roland wants me to race it this weekend, which I want to go out and win. But when you don't test it and you just go out and show up and you're trying to compete against the Factory Indian team who was just here 2 days ago, testing for 2 days, you know what I mean? They expect me to go out and win. It's like, hey, you
Are
want
they
me to
do
this
to
do thing?
That?
Do we have a scoop here?
No, I think for the Hooligans, you're okay. Like,
I think you are.
Yeah.
So Tyler O'Hara was on the track a couple days ago then.
Yeah, which is fine. I'm not worried about it. But then
when
they just want me to show up and think that I'm just going to go out and win, it's like, hey, like, come on, give me some slack here, dude. Like, if I'm not top of the timesheets, like, give me some slack. I don't want to do this anyways.
Well, but let's talk about the Baggers program. I mean, look what you're doing in that.
I'm happy about what we've been doing on the baggers. All year has actually been pretty good. Like, we just had like some weird mechanicals throughout the year, but the pace has been there. We've had the pace and we're improving each time we're on the bike. And now, like, I think we got to a point where, like, hey, like, I can get on this thing and I know what it's going to do. And I'm really comfortable with the bike right now. So yeah, that's a positive for sure.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, it was good to get the win last race. And then Laguna is going to be a different story though. Those Harleys go good. Kyle goes good at that place. I always do good at Laguna, but that's probably like, out of all tracks we go to, that's probably like, I dislike that place out of all the places we go to.
It's funny because it's like your home track and...
Home track, it's Laguna Seca, and, you know, like, man, I just hate that place. I don't know what it is.
Really, you do?
Yeah, I do well there. Yeah. I do not like it. I do not like the layout whatsoever.
Yeah.
So
it's funny because a lot of people don't... There's tracks like that a lot of people don't like that you would expect them to like.
Yeah.
And it's also a track where you really should do well because a lot of people, there's a lot of attention
on it. Everybody's
there.
It's
especially
like
when it was World Superbike and MotoGP. Mm-hmm. And Josh Hayes, I think, complained.
Yeah,
told
he doesn't
me
like that track.
He didn't like
nope,
it.
Nope, he doesn't like
it. But he
like
goes,
it.
I have to go good there because otherwise, yeah, you know, this is where everyone's yeah watching.
And it's important for Yamaha, too.
Yeah, it's a good place to be good at.
Yeah. So, where Bobby, something I don't really know about you because... For a while, you were like living in Wisconsin, I think. And are you from
everywhere.
Stockton? Is
I'm
that...
from Stockton. Yeah, yeah, my family's still in Stockton. I'm from Stockton. We call it Stinky Stockton now.
And you're a flat tracker. You did a lot of Lodi Cycle Bowl.
Yeah, my family still. I grew up like literally 5 minutes from Lodi Cycle
okay
Bowl, and my family still lives there. So.
And is that's how you got started? Just because it was yeah nearby and it was the thing to do. And
yeah, yeah.
Did you know anything about Kenny Roberts and any of that stuff
as a kid? No, like when I barely started, no.
Okay.
I think my dad did a little bit just because he was like around the Harley Davidson dealerships and all that stuff.
Yep.
But then obviously as a child and you start meeting Nate Waite, Gator Waite,
yeah,
Matt Waite,
sure, we remember
nickname,
yeah,
and then you get, you know, the Jorgensens.
Yep. Alex and so, Toby. And yeah,
yeah. My dad worked at Jorgie's for years.
Okay.
And was a parts manager for Alex Jorgensen, Kim Jorgensen, John Jorgensen.
Wow.
So, I grew up with them, riding motocross. I still ride motocross whenever I'm back in Northern California. I still ride, motocross and stuff with the Jorgensens.
Yeah.
Alex and David. So, but no, I grew up with a lot of fast guys, and that's kind of helped me, you know, to where I'm at today. And
yeah,
a lot of fast guys came from Lodi.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That little hellhole of a track right there. I mean, it's not a hellhole. I mean, it's just the area in general, the little dirt bowl.
Yeah.
You know,
it's banked, right? I mean,
it's banked. No, man, yeah, they've...
It's like a little Ascot.
Yeah. No, it is. And a lot of fast guys came from there.
Yeah, we learned that they built a bridge. And the dirt that they took out to build that bridge is the hole that was created is what created the Lodi Cycle Bowl. So that's what we heard. Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, they built a bridge. They used the...
I never heard that. That's the first time.
It's
but
some,
you could be right,
it's
honestly
some overpass for the highway. And the dirt they took out that hole, sometimes they turn them into a lake, but that they formed it into this... bowl, wow. And that's where the Lodi Cycle Bowl started.
That place has taught me a lot, man. It's still, a lot of fast kids are still coming out of there. It's crazy.
Yeah. What does that teach you? Because I want to ask you this. Of course, we all know, or at least most of us do, that this whole thing about learning how to steer with the rear end and all that. Well, we're in the day of electronics on a superbike, especially. So even if you work with electronics, steering with the rear end is still something?
For sure. Okay. I mean, you always got to, riding a motorcycle, the electronics definitely does a big part of, you know, when you're riding it, it plays a big part. But at the end of the day, it's like, you still got to learn how to ride it. I mean, there's sometimes you got to ride around it. You know what I mean? Like throttle control, flat track's all throttle control, really. You know what I mean? Steering with the rear end or keeping the wheels in line. It just really depends on what the condition gives you in that given day on flat track. But growing up at Lodi, it's like some weekends would be, you know, you got to road race it around, keep the wheels in line. Some days you got to back it in and square it off in the middle and then point and shoot it. So it kind of teaches you a big fair of a little bit of everything in riding. And I always liked the TTs growing up. So I already knew, like, as a young kid at flat track, we already knew, like, my goal was to go road racing.
Really?
Yeah. As a young kid, even like when I was like maybe 7, our goal was already to go road racing.
Because?
I just love the TTs. I love going right.
Okay.
It was
yeah
like the main
you don't want to just go left.
I love going right. Like,
yeah.
If there was right, I rode, we're at JD Beach's house last year, and I haven't rode flat track in years, and we did his little oval track, and we went right. We're like, hey, let's go right. I'm like, man, if there was professional flat track racing that goes right,
you'd be Grand National Champion.
I'd be Grand National Champion. You know? That's how I felt in my head, at least. But no, I just loved going right. And as a kid, we're like, you know, at the time when we're kids, like, man, these road racers they're making big money. Like, this is where the money's at.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's, and obviously right when I got pro, it was like, everybody was making found out. Nothing. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, right.
And I just stuck it out.
Yeah. But you know, that's a perfect segue. I wanted to talk to you about that because we bring this up sometimes. It's not like it's different than it was. That doesn't mean it's not as good because we feel it is, but there are only a handful of these riders that are paid a salary by factories to race. And we can name a couple of them, a few of them.
Yeah.
You've danced around that, but you work for a company, Dainese.
Yeah.
Just wanted to say it again.
You're saying it right. You're doing good, my friend.
And you work for Indian, Roland Sands, and you're going to ride a Yamaha for David Anthony. There's some income involved in all of that. And I know a lot of that's that you enjoy riding. That's the big part of it. But how do you put stuff together to make a living? I don't know how you guys do it.
So it started, when I got, after M4 in 2021, they were paying me a salary. We didn't have too good of a year. We just had a lot of bad luck. We had some flashes of brilliance that year. But then I didn't continue in 2022 with them. And I started talking with, it was originally going to be with a factory Indian. And for whatever reason, they didn't pick me. So I went with Roland.
He did a test and he was the fastest rider. Yeah. I can say that.
No, and honestly, like they were like, oh man, we want to beat Harley. We want to beat Harley. And then I go to the test and we did pretty well at the test. And they're like, oh, we're going to go.
Fastest rider.
Yeah. we're going to go this route. And I actually got frustrated. I got really like, because at the time I was like, when I tested the bagger, it wasn't that big yet. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't as popular as what it is now. And I go and I'm like, man, why didn't you guys pick me? Like, oh, we're just going to go another route, you know? So I was pretty bitter and I was pretty open to Gary Gray.
Openly bitter?
Yeah, I was openly bitter towards him. And at the time, I'm like, well, what do I have to lose? What, not to get a bagger ride? And that was in my head at the time, you know what I mean? I was just like, whatever. So thankfully, it ended up working out with Roland Sands and Steve DeLorenzi and Indian still supporting us and all that stuff, which is great. And I'm glad I stuck it out because, you know, we're having some success in the baggers and baggers are blown up. I mean, I feel like most of the people who come to the races are bagger people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they don't like, as much as I love to still be on a super bike and stuff, like people are here to watch the baggers go around. I mean, like all my dad's friends and everybody, like that's all they're like, oh man, I want to go watch the baggers,
yeah.
You know, like they don't care about super bikes as much as baggers. But no, I'm riding for Roland Sands and kind of steered off subject there. But
that's
I'm
okay.
Riding for Roland and Steve DeLorenzi on the baggers and making a little bit of coin doing that. And I was working for Alpine Stars last year as well as doing that. And then Alpine Stars this year said, you know, either pick racing or pick Alpine Stars. So I had to go a different... Alpine Stars. I had to go a different, basically I chose my job and then it didn't work out. And then I chose racing again. So it was kind of a back and forth seesaw there. And then I ended up going with Dainese, who is now I'm the events coordinator, grassroots specialist, events coordinator, racing support guy, shipping guy, a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
There's not many people in the US with Dainese. So, but I'm more the events guy. It's a different deal in Alpine Stars. We don't do like proper race support, like as in, we don't have a lot of supported athletes. Like if you deploy your airbag on a race weekend, and you're a paying customer, I'll come repack your airbag at the track for a cost and you get it there within the next, you know, 30 minutes or so, however long it takes me to do it. But yeah, now I'm working for Dainese, getting some income and they're letting me race on the race weekends, which is awesome. So as long as it doesn't affect my day job, I think they'll be still be happy.
Is it hard to do all that?
It's a lot. It's definitely a lot. It's like, even today, it's like, even during the week, like I'll be really busy for a little bit. And then it's like, man, I got to be a professional racer and I got to look out for my health, which I always do. Like people who know me, like I'm always into working. Like that's just what I do. I don't just stop racing and then stop working out. Like that's just,
You'll work out forever.
That's work out forever. And I'll just blow up like a balloon if I didn't, you know?
A little balloon.
Yeah, dude, seriously. I have triple chins. I'm still staying fit, but then like during the day, like during the week, it's like, hey, I gotta be okay. I gotta plan my breakfast, lunch, dinner because I want to eat good. I want to cook good. But then when I travel, I gotta travel. Like I can't stop at McDonald's to eat. I gotta make sure I'm eating at this fufu organic grass fed place or whatever. And then I gotta make time to do this email or this Teams call, or hey, I gotta run. So I'm like, lately I'm on a Teams call running with it, you know, on mute or something like that, or on a bike ride. So I'm trying to make time for all this. And most people are like, man, well, you're not that busy at work. But it's like, when you're trying to do everything decent, and I'm trying to ride my dirt bike too. And then where I live at, it's like the closest thing's an hour and a half with no traffic. You know, that's time too, time and money. So you're like trying to be a professional racer, trying to ride dirt bikes, trying to eat healthy, trying to do work, trying to, you know, stay a good, you know, good adult and pay your bills and all that stuff. It's just kind of, I am stretched pretty thin, but I feel like I'm still doing a good job at everything where nothing's lacking yet.
Yeah.
So
are you enjoying your life?
Yeah, no, I am, especially where I live at now too.
Yeah.
In Southern California, it's pretty nice.
And riding the bagger, do you enjoy riding that motorcycle?
Yeah, no, I do.
What is it about it? The power, the fact that you're wrestling a big, what is it?
The fact that we can do freaking 20s or 19s at Road America on a 650-pound motorcycle is pretty wild. Yeah, and then you get off that thing like, man, how the hell are we doing this on this bike? Like, I don't even understand it. But the racing is excellent. I mean, it's crazy. The Moto America have made everything so close now. Like, the Harleys and Indians and privateers and factories, we're all competing, and the times are really close. Like, Moto America did a great job in organizing the class and the rule structure and, you know, toning down on the testing, all that stuff. And now everybody's pretty tight and the racing's great. I mean, you could see last race weekend, I mean, the racing's good, you know?
It was crazy.
And I enjoy it, good. You know? It's hard. It's hard for the close racing and those things too, though, but I feel like it's way more sketchy racing close on those things because we're so wide.
Yes.
We're so damn wide on the things. Like, you got to be like, oh man, I'm going to pass this dude, but I got to be way more inside than what I really want to be. And then you just got to go for it. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just like slowly, like here, like you can inch in and then just let off the brakes. And then you can, you know, grab the brakes again. Here, it's like, you got to commit. You're like, I'm just going to run wide and I'm going to run us both wide. You know, like,
there's been a couple times where you've made some passes that are like, whoa. How did he even fit that in there with that? I don't even think about a 630-pound bike with that. That's that wide. How did you make that pass?
How'd you fit that big thing in there? Yeah. I don't know.
well, there is that.
No, but honestly, you just got to go for it. Honestly, you just got to go for it. It is sketchy at some points, but man, they handle pretty damn good. They're a wet noodle at times, but they handle good. And they're doing a good job.
And then there's
it.
That Brainerd move where he rides around the outside of them. And then
it's crazy. Yeah. I mean,
Rent was due. Rent was due.
We're all motivated by
this to starve.
Living in Southern California ain't cheap.
We're all motivated by different things, I guess.
Yeah.
Rent was due. Most of the time, money.
Yeah.
But just quickly, we're going to wrap up, but quickly on the superbike. Do you know yet? Like, is it just for this round and we'll see, or what are we doing?
So the original thing was, we'll just talk. If the weekend goes great, like everything's smooth, we'll talk about Laguna. He was like, it was to be a race by race thing. If you don't like it and, you know, or even if you like it and you don't want to do it, just let me know. Like, everything's pretty open. It was just a handshake deal, a fist pump deal. You know, it was just, hey, we'll try to go out and have some fun and, you know, see what we can do.
Yeah. One of the brilliant comments on, I got to share it with you on social media. Yeah. Somebody said, as long as his airbag goes off on the start line, he's probably going to win the race. So, you know,
just to get this to the world, I did not touch my airbag. And honestly, it was a fluke deal. And that honestly, that stuff never happens.
Except to the guy that works on
it. Except for, it has to be my luck. Honestly, it was kick some kid that day or something, you know? No, it was a fluke deal. And that stuff doesn't happen. Usually the chance of that usually happen on a DR airbag is really slim. So something went faulty and we sent the data to Italy.
Oh, you did? Yeah, you want to find out what happened.
Yeah, yeah. So it was a fluke deal that never really happens. And of course it happens to me, the Dionysia guy, you know, so.
I thought it was classic. You became a legend, even more of a legend.
I never touched that in my suit either. So everybody thought, it was like, dude, you messed up your airbag.
Well, they thought you were shaking or something.
I did. No, I did. I was like, went to the damn grid and just like shaking my arms, just like do a little pump up session. And then I definitely pumped up, obviously. I blew up. Yeah.
So that's what they're looking for. Just so you know, this weekend. But all right. So we're going to wrap this up, but you know, we got Bobby Fong. He's in the Medallia Superbike class this weekend on a Aussie Dave Anthony. It's a Wrench Motorcycles number 50 Yamaha R1 Superbike. Yeah. And he's also in Mission Super Hooligan Championship, National Championship this weekend on an Indian. So you're going to get a couple chances, four races to see Bobby in action. So, you know, as always, Bobby, we love having you on here. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
Yeah. Cheers, guys.